All right. Welcome back to the second half of Living the Good Life right here on WTAN, TANTalkNetwork.com. You can also catch us now live on YouTube. So you go to YouTube/TANTalkRadio. That's what you have to put in for that. TANTalkRadio/ the name of the show, which is Living the Good Life. So you can do that. And we, I started right before each show. So I've got a date already on this show that's being recorded right now on YouTube. And that date is today, 10/27/19. So you can go to YouTube and go to TAN Talk Radio. Let me get it right. Right, Angel? And you go to YouTube/TANTalkRadio/
yes.
Living the Good Life. Look for the date of the show. You'll be able to listen to the show again in a little while. When we're done at 5 o'clock, you can go back and listen to it because it'll be YouTube/TANTalkRadio/ Living the Good Life. Look for the date. Why is that important, Angel, when it comes to our listeners? Why would they want to listen to any of these shows again?
Well, first of all, you can't possibly take in everything at one time, I think. And I think every time you listen to it, God reveals a little bit something different or helps you see how that applies to your life differently. And so, you know, the more you get the truth in, the more you can recognize the lies and the tricks of the enemy, but the stronger it's building your spirit, man, and the more God's revealing what the work he's doing in you.
Amen. And we talked about Hebrews chapter 12 a few minutes ago, verses 14 and 15. I'm going to read it again as we start this second hour. Megan, I'm going to come to you for your comments here. Strive to live in peace. Strive to live in peace. I'm in the Amplified Bible. With everybody. You say, but I don't like, rah, rah, rah. I don't like that, rah, rah, I don't like that, you know. Strive to live in peace with everybody and pursue that consecration and holiness without which no one will ever see the Lord. Exercise for foresight. Be on the watch. That's what it means. Be on the watch. Look out. And look after one another. That's what happened in the healing service at Beacon of Hope this morning. I believe, Angel, that people were going and ministering. They felt led. I said, you guys go. In fact, I had my eyes closed from the time that the prophetic words and the ministry started to people. And I don't know what y'all did. because God told me to keep my eyes shut. I was not to be distracted by any who was going to pray for who or whatever. Talk to me about that, Angel, because people were moving around the room. They were anointing people with oil. They were praying over them. Talk, Angel, and then I want to go to James for his comment on that because he was there.
Sure, you know, and it was giving us the opportunity to minister to each other and to go lay hands on each other and to encourage and pray and bring their needs as a unified front to God together.
Yes.
And, you know, a lot of times I think in churches people expect it's only the pastor who can pray for people and we have to take everything and not to minimize pastors are very important, but we can do this for each other.
Absolutely.
Too. And we should be doing
yes.
this for each other.
Yes, 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 yes. James, and then we'll go to Megan.
Well, I was the first one you called up this morning.
Yeah, that's right.
It started off with me.
It was.
I don't know how long I was up there. I know you went to somebody else, and I was still standing there in the spirit praying. And it was like, once you started with me, the fire was lit already through the sermon.
Yeah.
But it was like throwing a big 50-gallon drum of gasoline on that. And it went from person to person
to person.
And we ended up back with you.
At the end, yes.
Yeah.
And you guys surrounded me.
It was, and I tell you what, and this was shocking. My wife, I'm sorry, I'm going to tell on you a little bit here, wifey.
What else?
she loves to pray. She doesn't love to pray out loud. I don't know why, but this morning I actually saw my wife go from person to person to person.
Ooh.
And when you brought up this one person's name, I actually saw my wife run to this person.
Really?
And
see, my eyes were closed, so I have no idea who y'all are talking about. You can tell me later.
Wow. Yeah, I actually saw
Body
my
ministry.
Wife. And I saw her run to him, and as soon as we got there, she started praying out loud, and I was like, Yes.
Wow. See, that's what it's about. Maya, talk about that, will you, before we go to this song? And we're coming to you and Megan before the song. Hang on, Meg.
I don't enjoy praying out loud.
Well, you're probably a little shy, like most people are.
You can say that, yeah.
Okay, I just said it.
Well, I agree with you.
Okay.
You have been calling me out a lot more.
I have.
To pray out,
yes,
especially over Angel. And I had mentioned it to James. I was like, I don't know why she always calls me to pray. But then I feel so bad because there was one time where you had, I think it was Wednesday, you called me to pray over Dr. Angel. And me and Nan were literally behind her going, you do it. And I felt so bad. So I'm like, oh no. Like, Angel's waiting for me to pray and I'm arguing over not doing it. So I'm sorry, Angel.
So you did repent, right?
Yes.
And you're learning.
I prayed.
Do you know what? It's okay because it's the growth process of ministry. You know, it takes time. Megan, guys, has it over all of you because Megan and her mom and her dad started coming to my church I pastored in Indiana when you, Meg, were 9 years old.
I'm jealous.
I was a baby.
You were a baby. And tell them about the prophetic word that was spoken over you many years ago. How old? I don't know how old you were. Were you 10, 11? I don't know.
I don't know. 9, 10, 11. I don't know. I have the dates on the paper, and I'd have to, I'll go find it here when the song's playing. But it was...
You still have that prophetic word?
I do. I wanted to find it a year ago, and I couldn't find it. And then when we were moving, it was in this weird spot in this box, and the Lord's like, you didn't need to see that. Because you already know, but there it is. And it's like, oh, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. But you spoke, the Holy Spirit spoke through you to me that I would minister to thousands of people and bring many to the Lord. And I'll find the paper so I can read exactly what it is. But that's what was prophesied over me as a child. And I thought, you know, growing up, it's like, you know, I want that so bad, Lord. I want to do that so bad. And so, you know, I would push and push and push. And then finally, it's like, holy moly, 2017, I get this job to become a personal shopper. And I had no clue what was going to come of this. But when that started, I prayed to the Lord and I said, look, Father, I want to go door to door and I want to spread the love of Jesus. I want to go door to door, and instead of telling people that I'm going to pray for you, that I'm actually going to pray for them right there in that moment.
Whoa.
And I said, Father, I want to pray in the store. I want to do it. I don't want to be concerned about what's going on around me. And I'll tell you, Miss Maya, pastor's picking on you because the Holy Spirit knows what kind of warrior is down on the inside of you, my friend. And the Holy Spirit will make you such an eloquent speaker. You just got to let the word flow, my friend, because he did it for Moses, he does it for me, and he can do it for you. And I will testify, just within the last couple of weeks, I have prayed over someone inside the grocery store twice. And awesome. You know, when you let the Holy Spirit move, you just took a step forward for the growth. And you made an atmosphere shift in that moment.
Amen.
So, Maya,
woo!
Don't you be afraid to pray. Don't you be afraid to let that Holy Spirit flow from that beautiful mouth of yours, girl, because
you get her.
I'm going to, because you're a mighty warrior, and let the words flow and don't be afraid, because that's the devil telling you that you ain't got it, and you got it, sister.
Oh, thank you, Megan. Not for a moment.
Through the storm, walking on the water, even when I could not see. In the middle of it all,
Praise God. He never walks away from us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Megan, you are one of those that learned that at a young age. He stayed with you, hasn't he, all the way through?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you find your prophetic word?
I did. But before I read this, I want to kind of give a little bit of a testimony, is that as a child, there were several things that I struggled with, but one of them was fear of rejection from people and being very, very bashful. I was very quiet as a child. So this prophetic word, it sure comes to light now almost, oh my gosh, over 20 years ago, but it was from November 13th of 91.
So, and it you says, would have been how old would you have been?
11.
Okay.
11. Almost 11. So I was 10. It says, anointing of an evangelist that's already in you and will come on you like a mantle. You will win tens, twenties, thirties, hundreds, thousands. Win them to the Lord. Learn the scriptures on salvation, a new style of evangelist because of the love you've been taught here. Gentleness. Don't hesitate to open your mouth. And that's it.
Whoa.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's that. I've never been a bold person, but with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the power of the blood and the power of the anointing, the boldness comes forth. And it's not something that I can contain anymore. And there's times when, yes, there's times when there's quiet times, but there's times when it's such a powerful force that it can't be stopped. And that was those two moments just recently in the grocery store where I prayed over someone, and I didn't care who was around. I didn't care who saw me. I didn't care who heard me. And if I start praying in tongues in the store, I don't care, because that is something that that's something that I want to do before I go to heaven, is I want people to know how much I love Jesus.
Woo!
And even if it's just being kind and noticing when someone is in need, then so be it.
Amen.
But we've got to get to the point where we tell the Lord, none of me, all of you.
Yes. Yes. Talk to us, angel. Thank you, Meg. That was great. Go.
And then that's exactly it. You know, it's submitting ourselves. It's humbling ourselves. It's letting him teach us. It's being teachable and being obedient to what he shows us and not fighting him. And that's hard. I know I'm a fighter, and a lot of times I will fight God when he shows me things, and then I'm really miserable in the middle of the fight until I decide, yeah, I have to surrender this or I'm going to continue being miserable.
Why do we do that, Angel? Because you're the counselor here, so just enlighten us as to why we fight the things that are good for us a lot of times, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, because I think in our heads we build it up to be something it's not. Maybe we think it's really going to be painful to deal with this, or this is going to be awful, or this is going to make us look weird, or we put some thoughts in our head and we can fight that or not want to yield that to him. And when we're in that fight, when God has showed us something that we need to work, especially something in our life that we need to work on, or something we need to receive a healing through in our life, and we want to do it in our own strength, you know, being the counselor, that can be really, I'm going to out myself here. It's really challenging for me at times, because, you know, I'm in there working with people through their struggles and their things all the time. So, well, why can't the counselor counsel herself and figure it out for herself? And, you know, so sometimes it's really hard for me to get to that point that I will yield this to God and let him do his part and stop trying to take control over a situation I don't need to take control over.
And he really does set us free of these things. This whole series is set free. But a lot of times we have to come to a point where we recognize that we need to be set free from something. That something is nagging on us, something is causing us to fall back into bad habits. Or talk to us about that, Meg. There's so many times we just have to need to come to a point of recognition, I guess, self-assessment, perhaps. You know what I mean?
I I totally agree with that, Pastor. And I just opened my Bible, and I have a little bookmark here that says, and I wrote this down, it's my own handwriting, it says, "We were made to thrive. Joy unspeakable." This must be a song.
Yeah.
It is. "Joy unspeakable, faith unthinkable,
right.
Love unstoppable, anything is possible."
Yeah, those are the words to made to thrive from Casting Crowns.
Yes.
Yeah.
So right here next to this bookmark is Psalm 31. It says, "I run to you, God. I run for dear life. Don't let me down. Take me seriously this time. Get down on my level and listen, and please, no procrastination. Your granite cave, a hiding place. Your high cliff is a place of safety." And I think that goes right along with what we're talking about.
It is.
Is that we need to get out of our own little hole that we've dug. You know, that where we've thought that we've built this little safety spot, you know, where we are hidden away from life's struggles. And we're not, because Satan comes in and curls right up with you.
Right.
I'm sorry, the Holy Spirit is just really strong.
No, it's all right. You go right ahead.
We need to come out of our own little hole. We need to come out into the light. Let the light cast a shadow off of you, because there'd be no darkness that surrounds you when you come out of that little trench that you've dug. Come into the high place. Come up to the mount. Come join your Father, because we are able, through His power of forgiveness and grace and His mercy, that we're able to move past all of those things that we've been through.
We are.
Hurts can be uplifted off of us.
Yes.
And we can live in that, Pastor.
We can. But we have to see that. Let's go to Psalm 31, because I'm glad you took us there. "In you, O Lord," this is verse 1, Psalm of David, "do I put my trust and seek refuge?" And people, that would be step 1 right here. If you're battling some things you cannot seem to get through, number 1, make a list and put it right there. "In you, O Lord, do I put my trust and seek refuge." Psalm 31, verse 1. "Let me never be put to shame or have my hope in you disappointed. Deliver me in your righteousness." Deliver me. It really, point 1 really would be here. Okay, God, I put my trust in you to set me free from this thing I just keep coming back to. Point 2 would be, and asking God to deliver you from it. Deliver me, right? And verse 2, "Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily." There's the word "deliver me" again. Before you said Psalm 31, I had already switched the song we're going to do next, because I really felt like the one I had planned was not what we were going to do. And believe me, the name of the one we're going to do in a minute, I'll tell you. "Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me." Yes, you are my rock. Verse 3, "and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Draw me out of the net." I don't know what number we're on, 3 or 4. "Draw me out of the net that they have laid secretly for me, and for you are my strength and my stronghold." Who has laid a net for you? The devil. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Sometimes people are used by the devil to lay a big old net around you, to try to trip you up. And you just know that there's an attitude coming at you. Guys, a lot of times we are stuck in a situation because we cannot see it with our spiritual eyes. Can anybody relate to what I'm saying right now? Hang on, James, you want to comment? Yeah, let me get your mic on.
Oh, yeah. My work situation, I see it with my physical eyes.
Right.
I see what's going on. I see the addiction.
Okay.
And at first, that's all I saw.
Yeah.
And as I got to see into it more, I see there's a hurt there. There's a pain there. There's
behind. It's usually hurt.
A fear.
Yeah.
And I actually got to see it about a month ago.
Yeah.
And it showed itself again this week. And I'm starting to see that situation at my job through the spiritual eyes.
Right.
And I once a week, at least once every 2 weeks, I stand in the gap for this man. And,
right.
And
Frank Sinatra, Nat King Cole, and Bob.
Sorry. Forgot to turn that computer off. Go ahead.
But yeah, that look into it with spiritual eyes.
Changes everything, doesn't it?
And it, instead of being mad at the situation, I cry.
Right.
Because
you have a burden for this situation instead of being angry and let it get to you. That's such a good point. I thought we were going to talk about the cycle of abuse today, but we kind of are, aren't we, Angel? Can you kind of relate that here to what James is saying and what Megan's been saying here about trusting God, and even if you're in the middle of a grocery store?
Well, so, and it's true that trust in God is where we need to put our trust.
Right.
I think we've falsely put our trust in a lot of other things that have let us down and not have brought us to the healing that we need. And then, you know, in that cycle of abuse for us is when, first of all, we accept less than what we are, when we continue to make the same mistakes
over and over again.
You know, when we're learning from mistakes, they're not mistakes, they're teaching moments.
Right.
You know, and when we let God teach us that lesson, but if you're walking around that same mountain over and over, you're kind of in that cycle of abuse. And, you know, you can't break it for yourself. This is one of those things that is a moment to moment. It is a surrender to God. It is God, because he... First of all, you have to transform your thinking, because your thinking patterns set you into this cycle of abuse or accepting less than or whatever it is, having this bad habit or whatever you're cycling with. You know, you have to change that whole mindset. You have to walk through it and see how it's destructive. You know, as much as you can see that this is not good for me or destructive, until you're ready to let it go and try to learn to do it different, you're not going to, no matter how many times other people want you to or whatever. You have to want it for yourself, and you got to be willing to do the work. And I know people don't want to hear that word work, but it's work, because you got to walk through what got you there in the first place so you can learn how to walk through it and out of it and not continue getting on the merry-go-round with it. You got to get off of it. And until you do, you're going to keep having the same hurts, the same feelings, the same mistakes. You're going to keep feeling defeated, less than, like over. And the more times you walk it, the more times you're reinforcing this cycle of abuse, the harder that cycle is to break.
That's exactly right. But here's the good news. Y'all ready for this? You Deliver Me by Selah. Love this song. Take it to heart, dear ones. Declare that he's your deliverer this day. That's what he wants to be for you.
Deep as the ocean, right as a rain, this powerful emotion lifts me up above the plain. It's taking me to places I never thought I'd go, showing me a grace I never thought I'd know. When I feel like I can't go on, you deliver me. And when the road is winding way too, like a sinner whose sins have been washed clean, an absolute beginner whose heart has never seen. I must be forgiven for sometimes asking why I was chosen to be given you. Way too
love that song. Wow. Megan?
Yes, dear.
He does deliver us, doesn't he? When we feel like we can't go on, when we feel like we have no answers, when we feel like we're going around the same mountain over and over again, when we come to him humbly and say, God, deliver me from this. Help me understand this aspect of my life or my mind or my emotions or the pitfalls I keep falling into. When we come honestly before him and bow before him and say, please, God, deliver me, he does.
He does. And I was, when that song was playing, I was reminded of when I had to leave the hospital after losing Grayson.
Yes.
And the heavy weight, and I just, it was the heavy weight of depression that tried to come upon me. And
yeah,
if I didn't know of the Lord, I would still be in that position. And that song that he delivered me, he did. My Lord delivered me of depression because yeah, that's the only way I got out of that bed. And was because he said, okay, Megan, you've been down long enough. Get up. And it was like the voice was so powerful. It was like a sergeant in the military talking to a new recruit. Get up. He's not done with me. And he's not done with you, listeners. If you feel like that you are stuck, you're not. You need the Lord. You need to ask the Lord to deliver you from what you're in. And he will. He will show up and show you just how powerful and how powerful he is and how much he loves you and how much he cares for you and every little thing in your life. He will deliver you. He did it for me, and he's done it for many other people that I know, and he wants to do it for everyone.
You know, I'm a witness to that happened when you lost Grayson, because you knew a few months before you delivered him that his chances of surviving with the lung condition were not good at all. And yet you believed, yeah, and you did your part. You and Ben stuck together very strongly there, fighting for your son. But after 33 hours, Jesus took him home.
He did.
And I remember talking to you that next day and saying, I don't know how you're doing it. And you said what you're saying right now in the air, that God told you, you've got to lay it down and let him deliver you from that grief and that sorrow. I remember that strongly talking to you, thinking, because you're my adopted daughter. So I thinking, my daughter,
yes, ma'am.
Look at my yes, daughter ma'am. Go. Look at this. You know, it was yep. truly God delivering you from depression, grief, asking why. God, why did this baby not survive? All of the above. And honestly, Megan, what a testimony. You've given that testimony so many times over the air in the last 5 years. And I can tell you that it has helped so many people that have heard your story about how God delivered you from that grief and mourning and set your feet on a solid rock. What we're talking about right here in Psalm 31.
Ma'am, and I tell you, I've never felt something so heavy in my entire life. And I can tell you, there's times where Satan tries to use that against me. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that exactly what he's doing. And it's like, no, Satan, because I remember how the Lord delivered me from that heaviness. Because as soon as I stood up, it was gone. Because I listened to his instructions. Yeah. And it was just something so simple as to get up. Because I was done being down. I was done not being able to move. I was done being crippled by depression.
Yes.
And I'll tell you guys, whoever needs to hear this, you can be free from that. The Lord will set you free from that. And it's not. And once you feel that freedom and then you sense that temptation, you know, in the knower of all knows, exactly who's trying to do that to you, and you will be able to stop it immediately because you've been trained, because your Father is right there with you, and the Holy Spirit is right there with you, guiding every step that you take, and He won't let you go back down. I promise you.
And at 11 years old, when God gave you that prophetic word, who would have known that you would have to endure something so difficult? But it's part of your testimony. It's your story, Meg. It's who you are.
Yes, ma'am.
Angel.
Wow, it's such a powerful testimony. And, you know, Megan, I know there are so many people out there that just feel like they can't go on after they lose a child, and that there's no life and that there's no hope. And every time you tell that story, you're giving hope.
That's right.
To the hopeless.
Yes, you are.
And you are taking something that was meant to harm you, and you are making it for God's glory. And thank you for being willing to be so transparent to share that, because it's not easy to expose some of our deepest, deepest pains and hurts. But when He's there through it, He gets the glory, and, you know, He's heals us day by day. And I'm sure, you know, there are a lot of times, there's a lot of us out there that I think are going through things that just feel so overwhelmingly painful that they don't feel like they can continue getting through it. And so instead of going through it, they try to avoid it or ignore it or cover it up with something.
So
and
true.
But the hope is
an addiction or drink it away or do whatever it takes to just not feel the pain.
Absolutely.
Hang on, James. Let me get your mic back on. Go ahead.
Or you just smile to it. You fake it.
Right.
Right.
And that becomes a facade on your face
exactly,
instantly.
It does.
And you don't deal with that pain. And
right. Because it's too painful to deal with the pain.
Yeah.
Right. So you stuff it.
Yeah.
But Megan, you didn't
stuff
do
it
that.
Down,
and
you
I
just smile.
How many, was it 3-4 days after Grayson passed that you got up off that bed of depression?
It was 3 days. Because I remember being in the bed.
I remember too. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't, and when you're in that deep of a spot, you don't hear a lot because you're just, you're mentally and physically hurting so bad that you feel like you're being crushed. And but then I just hear a whisper. The first thing I heard was, "But I need my mommy," and that was my 5-year-old little Andrew, or 4-year-old little Andrew that said that out in the living room. And that's when I heard God's voice, "That you've been down long enough, get up." And I took that. I took that as an order. Get out of the bed, Megan, because you're done. You know, and I do, from being raised in church and being around other people that have had, you know, testimonies of their lives being altered and their lives being changed. I know better. I know better than to let the devil keep me strapped to that bed. But I stayed there for 3 days because it was so heavy. And it was 3 days too long because I knew better than that. But grief for everyone is different. And so I'm not saying it's 3 days. It could be weeks. It could be months. It could have been years ago that you still have those harps and those straps and those chains binding you. And there is someone that can break all of that off of you and give you your freedom back. You just have to say His name.
Praise you, Jesus. That's what it is. You are right, Meg. You are right. Talk to us, Angel. Praise God.
Well, He is definitely, you know, we read Isaiah 61.
Yeah, we did this morning.
1-3 today. And, you know, and He has come to heal the brokenhearted and to set the captives free. And there are so many people who are held captive by something, if it's a hurt, if it's choices that they've made, if it's something, there's things that they hang on to. And I see it every day in the counseling room. You know, a lot of times people are coming in because they feel like, oh, they're having a problem with their job or their marriage. But when we really get down to it, it's something that's been holding them captive. And prisoner for so long in their life. That's the real thing that's going on. And there's so many people who are prisoners to something to some degree. And, you know, we don't have to be. He has come to set us free. And that's why Jesus came, was to set us free.
Amen.
We just have to be willing to accept that freedom.
Yes.
And we have to be willing to submit, and we have to be willing to be transformed, and they're having our minds renewed, and having, you know, letting him pour his healing balm all over us.
It is a matter of submission. It is a matter of acceptance, accepting God's healing power, knowing that supernaturally, Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. Dear listener, the healing you need in your grief right now, the healing you need in your depression, your anxiety, your worry, your fear, whatever it might be, the healing you need is available for you. It's there. God wants to deliver you from to something amazing, from all those things that bind you to all that he has planned for you, a future and a hope. Jeremiah 29, 11 to 14, he said, I didn't come to give you problems and calamity and terrible stuff. I came to give you a future and a hope to do good to you. He's the good shepherd. We never even got to that today, but that's who he is. Talk to us, Megan. Minister to the people, you and Angel, please. And James and Maya, if either of you want to say something, just let me know. Go ahead, Meg.
You know, I feel like that after that came to pass, that there, how it would try to slip back in was that I was hoping that the days would just fly by, that I was hoping that I could just, if I knew that I could make it to the to bedtime, that I had survived. But that came to pass as well, because that was also a demonic stronghold, that just hoping that I just had, you just had enough energy to make it through the day and not cry at a wit's end. That was just another attempt of the devil. And when I let that go, when I surrendered to that garbage, because that's garbage, that you don't want to just walk through the day like a zombie. You want to walk through the day like a disciple for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And
amen.
When I flipped that switch, when I made that 180, because I'll tell you, there's not just one surrender in your lifetime. There's going to be multiple ones, because every season and every storm requires surrender. And when you get to that point, when you know that you've got to hit your knees, because that's the farthest you can fall, that's when you need to reach out and just touch the hem of his garment. Because when I did that after that next season, then yes, time has flown, but every single day, and it's going to be 6 years in April that Gracie's been gone, every single day has been a joy to me. It's been full of blessings. I have blessed others. And life has just not been mundane, because it's not supposed to be. And I'll tell you, when you hurt, your father hurts for you. No one on this planet can relate to you in your pain more than your heavenly father.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, if you feel like that you can go no farther, you can go one step farther. And that's when you tell the Lord on your knees that, Lord, I'm here, I'm down, and I'm a hurting soldier, and I need you.
Amen.
And I'll tell you what, when you do that, please don't hold back the emotions. Don't hold back those tears, because those are tears of healing.
Yes.
And you've got to let it go. You've got to let the Lord, like Dr. Angel said, you've got to let him cover you with that healing balm.
Woo! So true. And you and Ben were blessed with little Zoe Grace, a little over a year after Grayson went to heaven. God has a way.
He does.
Angel.
Well, I love the promise that happens in Isaiah 61 in verse 3, where it talks about that he'll bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes.
Right.
The oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. And I think there's so many listeners out there, we just need to bring them our ashes.
Right.
He doesn't ask us to put them together or to make it beautiful or to pretty it up. bring him the ashes that we have, and he'll make it into something beautiful, you know, and take away our mourning and give us gladness and take away our despair. And we're walking in despair and we're walking in mourning, and we feel, I mean, think about ashes, it's all consumed. You know, it's gone, it's broken, it's shattered, it's, and that's how I think a lot of us feel. And we do, like what James said, you know, we try to slap on a happy smile and pretend like it's not there, but it's holding us, it is there, and it's wreaking havoc in our life, and it's holding us in bondage, and it's stopping us from being everything God has called us to be. And Amen. It's time that we stop letting the enemy do this to us. Stop letting him use whatever it is, if it's embarrassment, if it's shame, if it's whatever it is that he's using to trick us, to tell us that we can't get through. That's a lie. That's the whole reason Jesus came to earth, was to set the captives free, to give us an opportunity Amen. To walk in the freedom.
And that's why in his very first sermon in Luke chapter 4, also recounted in Matthew chapter 4, he starts with that very scripture, Isaiah 61, 1-5, and says, that's why I'm here. I came to bring you an oil of gladness instead of a spirit of mourning. I came to bless your life instead of let you live in all the despair of the past. Dear listener, this is what God wants for you. It's in his presence. Bow your heads with us wherever you are. Wherever you are, if you can, if you're not driving. Allow God's Holy Spirit right now to minister life to you. Set you free from the past, the pain that you've endured, whatever it might be. Let him minister to you right now. Receive his touch in your life.
Right here in his presence, I want to let you know, no matter how big your problem, troubles vanish.